The InStyleOwen podcast is brought to you by Cybionics, an emerging CGM brand that focuses on simplifying how individuals aged 18 and above monitor and control their blood sugar levels. Upon becoming available on the market, the Cybionics GS1 CGM has helped users worldwide navigate the complexities of diabetes management with more confidence and peace of mind. Thanks to Cybionics, now more people are able to view and share their real-time glucose data, receive customizable glucose alarms, and generate full AGP reports, all directly from an intuitive Cybionics app, empowering them with the necessary information to make better decisions about their health. Cybionics combines data accuracy and comfort of wear, which is important to us all, with a feature-rich app. The 14-day scanning-free and calibration-free Cybionics GS1 CGM aims to deliver reliable, seamless diabetes management experiences. For more, check out cybionicscgm.com. This is the InStyleOwen podcast, where I, Owen Costello, try to redefine diabetes. In this week's episode, I reduced my bolus insulin with meals following as my insulin sensitivity had increased from training legs, but also because I had a hypo. In brackets, having one hypo will likely increase the chances of having another on that same day. But before we get into that, everything you hear on the InStyleOwen podcast is from my own personal experience. And if you have any worries or issues regarding your diabetes, please contact a medical professional. Now, let's get stuck into this episode. How's it going? And welcome back to... I sounded very American there. Did I, Graham? Did that sound like kind of American?
Is this
where it begins? Have I been here too long?
Is this where it begins? Do you now start turning American on us?
Maybe. How's it going?
I'm an accent chameleon. I will start copying accents. I remember in Canada, by the end of our stint in Canada, I was going up to the end of sentences. Hey, and I was kind of talking like this. Yeah. Especially because I was working with Canadians, especially we all were. Yeah. But I pick up accents really. Like when I go home to Mayo from Dublin, which is on the west coast of Ireland, even though for such a small country for people who don't live near Ireland, it has the probably most amount of accents per square kilometer. Ridiculous.
Yeah. That's actually something that I'll, like anytime I'm having a conversation with somebody over here, like if they ask about accents or say like, oh, I love your accent, or like I've been to Ireland or whatever direction the conversation may go, generally somebody will make a comment about an accent for the most part. And I always say, which it's true, Ireland is such a tiny country in the grand scale of things, but the amount of different accents, it's just insane. Like if you drive 20 minutes down the road from where I live in Ireland, somebody will sound completely different.
Like
it's bizarre.
Not even a variation of that accent, a different accent.
Yeah, completely different. And I think you only really appreciate it or actually understand what we're talking about right now if you've been to Ireland, because you experience it firsthand. It's crazy.
What's a Bray accent? So you're from Bray, you're just outside of Dublin. What is a Bray accent?
It's kind of like
neutral Dublin, aren't you?
I would consider a Bray accent kind of like a combination of it's almost like sometimes it can even depend on which part of Bray you grew up.
But Bray's a small town.
Yeah, I know. But I would generally consider a Bray accent as like in between a Wicklow and a kind of north side Dublin accent. I'd kind of put it in between that. But then also you could say, well, a different part of Bray is a mixture of a South Dublin accent and a Wicklow accent. You know, like sometimes I get told I sound more like a south side accent than other times people are like, no, you sound more like a north side accent.
I would say you're more north side Dublin accent than south side.
So I think that's, I Personally, I know we're talking about accents here. We're supposed to be talking about diabetes, I suppose. So if you've no idea what we're talking about, we apologize. But I think a quote unquote Bray accent is closer to a northern Dublin accent as opposed to a southern Dublin accent.
Would agree. Would
Anyway,
agree.
let's get on to this podcast. How did that
Back
come
into your
up?
American accent. Your American accent.
Right. So what I was saying was, welcome back to the podcast. I hope you're well. And Graham, what were we going to do? We were going to read out an email that I had sent previously, or we
So
got an email.
we got an email in response to one of your email lists, which you are banging out. I receive them in my inbox about 3 a week. They're a great resource, kind of some thought of the day from Owen, or maybe talks about an episode that's coming up, or gives you a tip on how to look after your management. So, Owen, if someone's listening and they're not part of your email list, what is the best way to join?
So the best way to join is either through the link in my Instagram bio. You will find a link through that link for my email list, or else, because you're listening to this podcast, you can just go directly to the link in the description of this podcast, and then you'll see a link to sign up for the email list. If you aren't, my question to you is, why are you not? Because much like Graham said, I bang them out, and it could be a thought of a day. It could be how I manage something. It could be something that happened to me personally that week. It could be something that happened personally with a client in our Type 1% program, for example. But it's always diabetes, health, nutrition, mindset based, and it goes straight into your inbox. So why not? And like people enjoy, it's completely free. You don't have to do anything. You just need to put in your details. It's as simple as that.
And what I like is I see it pop through on my email and I can read it in less than 2 minutes. There is not a lot of wordy information that's going to bog you down. You're like, what does that mean? It's boom, read it 2 or 3 minutes, take it in. If you take one thing from it, isn't that good? And this is what Katrina did. So Katrina received one of your emails. She signs up to your emails and she did a response to it. But how about this one? How about you read the email that you sent out in the email list? And then I'll embody Katrina, and long-term listeners to the podcast will know that I struggle reading. But hopefully, this is the first email I'm reading from my new office. So maybe this will actually help me, the surroundings and the echo in the room, and the fact that I'm reading from a bigger monitor screen now. But we'll
Well,
see how it
I was about to cut you off when you said you read an email in 2 minutes, because I struggle to believe that. But we'll see how you go.
goes.
So this is an example of an email that I sent out. So again, an example of something that may have happened to me that day, that week, that I'm thinking out loud into an email for you. So let's get stuck in. I'm going to cut to the chase. I feel like I'm doing like an audiobook or something. Anyway.
Oh, I like that. Chapter one. Cut into the chase.
Chapter one. I'm going to cut to the chase. I had a pretty low in the gym the other day. Not ideal, just as I'm getting into my 10 by 10 sets of squats. Ha ha, I wrote. Pretty funny. So then I thought, I feel like you now, Graham. So then I thought, I can't
It's
even
harder
read.
than it
I
looks.
can't even read my own emails. So then I thought, knowing how to treat lows in the gym effectively is hugely important for safety, but also so that a low doesn't ruin your workout or ruin your day. I wanted to share a few tips and thoughts following this low. Firstly, it happens. Don't pretend like it doesn't or that it won't happen again. Going high and going low while living with type 1 diabetes is inevitable, as also you know because you're listening to this podcast. How you deal with them, learn from them, and make adjustments to reduce their occurrence or frequency is a choice. How I dealt with this low in the gym last night. Firstly, I felt it, but just not as obviously as I was training, so my heart rate was elevated and I was sweating. Both potentially signs of low blood sugars, too. My CGM alarmed me just slightly late because, as we know, or as you should know if you listen to this podcast, your CGM readings are going to be slightly behind your actual blood sugar numbers because it needs to kind of catch up. I double checked my numbers with a finger prick using the sides of my fingers rather than the tips because I was in a gym using all sorts of equipment. That's a quick tip. When I'm training, I prick the sides of my fingers as opposed to the tips of my fingers when I'm in the gym, because I don't want, let's call a finger prick an open wound. I know that's an exaggeration, but I don't want my finger prick where there's blood coming out, touching all sorts of equipment in the gym. So quick tip is just prick on the side of your finger if you don't do that already. I treated the low with 4 glucose tablets and half a protein bar, combination of fast acting and slower acting carbohydrate. I like to combine the two in these situations to give myself a quick bump, but also something to quote unquote hold my levels steady. I waited 15 minutes for my bloods to come back up, double checked them with a finger prick, and got back to training. I reduced my bolus insulin with meals following, as my insulin sensitivity had increased from training legs, but also because I had a hypo. In brackets, having one hypo will likely increase the chances of having another on that same day. Not ideal, but no reason to allow it to ruin the rest of my session or the rest of my day. A simple but effective saying I like to keep in mind when it comes to the all-consuming and consistent nature of diabetes is keep your head in the game. Have a great day. So that's an example of an email that would land directly into your inbox when you sign up to my email list. So something that happened to me firsthand that I want to relay over to you.
Can I ask the question before we get to Katrina's response to that? Having a hypo in the day increases the chances of it happening again. Is that because of rebound highs and then trying to fix it again? Or is there like a science behind that?
Well, yes, you've hit the nail on the head. Like if you have a rebound high and then react too quickly and you're emotional and stressed and you take a correction, you're again increasing the likelihood of you going low again. But apparently physiologically, there's also a reason behind it too. And I remember I was having a conversation with one of my endos in Ireland a number of years ago. And what she said to me was, and how she expressed it was hypo memory.
Ooh.
Basically meaning that if you do have a hypo on a day, you are more inclined to have another that same day. So what was suggested to me, and obviously what I implement in my own management, is if I do have a hypo and I know that, oh yeah, I'm likely increasing the likelihood of another hypo this same day, I will pay more attention to the insulin that I'm taking, or I will slightly reduce the insulin that I take with my next meal following the hypo. Or in combination with, I will also likely consume a bit more carbohydrate if I'm doing any sort of movement on that same day, just to try and avoid continuing going low. But important to remember. So if you do have a hypo, keep in mind, potentially you will need a bit less insulin that same day. Now, I don't mean a bit less in the sense of you cut back your insulin by like 50%. It could be that if you're taking 10 units, for example, maybe you might just take 9.5. That's an example. So just by a small percentage, just to help avoid the lows. Because as we know, the immediate impact of a low blood sugar can potentially be a lot more severe than the immediate impact of a high blood sugar. So you want to reduce the frequency of lows particularly.
You get to Katrina's response to that email?
I was just about to say to you, Graham, you look like you're lost in translation there. Right, go on. Go on.
Oh, that's funny. No, because I was, as you were talking, do you know why? I'll tell you why. Because now I have 2 screens in my new office. I'm so happy with it. Usually I'd be like squinting and looking at the computer laptop screen and trying to get the email beside you. Now I have another screen over here and I was just I was proofreading it as I was going, don't mess up while you were finishing talking. So I think I kind of like startly looked at you when you were finished.
Head in the game, Graham. Like you said, head in the game. Head in the game.
Head in the game. Head in the game. Okay. Katrina says, the subject line, I wanted to share this story with you because I know it's something you can relate to. She says, hi, Owen. Thanks for this email. I appreciate getting them. I'm new in the game, 1 year as type one. So I find it encouraging that you just treated your low and got back training. I woke this morning. Ah, there we go.
There we go. There we go.
I woke up this morning low, 3.7. I didn't want to eat breakfast straight away as I had chores to do around the house before logging on for work. So I drank a Lift and went about my jobs. That's a glucose drink, Lift, isn't it?
Yeah.
Then about 35, 40 minutes later, when the Lift was wearing off, I was back to 6 millimoles per liter. I took insulin and had breakfast. It's through looking at your feed on Instagram and listening to your podcast that has given me the confidence to do this. I by no means have it all figured out, but I learn every day and keep my head in it and do my best with it. As a start of this type 1 journey, that hypo would have ruined my day. So thank you from Katrina. Excellent.
Love it. Thank you, Katrina. We appreciate you listening to the podcast and send the email. I always love these types of responses and emails that we get. And delighted to hear that the email was of benefit. And I know you're essentially brand new in the game with your recent diagnosis. So I hope you have been dealing with it okay up to this point. And by the sounds of it, you're already very proactive, given the fact that you're listening to the podcast, following on Instagram, and actually implementing the things that you hear, which is the most important thing. Because one of my favorite sayings is, information without implementation is useless to you. You can know all the things in the world about your diabetes, but if you don't actually implement anything, it doesn't make any difference to your life with diabetes, essentially. So well done, Katrina. And it actually, it kind of highlights the importance of your headspace or your mindset with the condition. And it's actually something that we went through as a group in our type 1% program yesterday for like an hour and a half on a Zoom call. Usually they're like 45 minutes, 60 minutes, depending on what we're going through or questions that people have. But yesterday we were all talking as a group for like an hour and a half about the mental side of diabetes. And one of big factors with that quote unquote mental side of diabetes that came up and does come up for a lot of people is your reaction to a blood sugar. And it can seem like something like, I suppose it's difficult. I suppose with most things with diabetes, it's difficult to understand the emotion behind certain types of blood sugars that you would see, particularly at specific times of day, and how you would react to it and how it can dictate your mood and your energy for hours afterwards. But the way I look at it is, it will dictate your mood and your energy for hours afterwards if you allow it to. Because something as well that I always try and keep in mind is like, three things that you can always control in your life essentially are your effort, your attitude, and your response. Essentially, you can control those three things at all times. I know it's not easy to do, but you can always control them. And if you have some sense of control, or even just more awareness or more mindfulness, I know that's kind of like a key word, a buzzword these days, mindfulness. But if you have more of that self-awareness around how you're reacting to your blood sugar physically, you're putting yourself in a really powerful position over your diabetes. Because if you have an ability, and look, this is like repetitions in a gym. You don't get strong overnight. You don't become resilient with your diabetes or mentally strong with your diabetes overnight. It takes repetition. And if you're in a position where you have the ability to analyze blood sugar objectively as opposed to react emotionally, It's exactly that. You have great power over your diabetes because it's not dictating your energy or your mood as much as it can do. So the fact that Katrina, like, was obviously very aware of how she was responding and her process towards dealing with the low blood sugar, even physically, not just the mental side of it, proves that, oh yeah, I was made aware of this thing because I heard somebody else speak about it, and then I could try and implement it myself when it happened to me. And it just proves that from that email, like, you can fix a high or a low quite quickly and just get back to it. And something, before I go off on a ramble that's too long, but something that I have found really valuable and something that I've spoken to all of our members inside the program a lot about is the idea that you shouldn't isolate an annoying blood sugar. And what I mean by that is, if you view a high or a low as this like awful, awful occurrence and it's ruined your day and there's nothing you can do about it, and the world is a terrible place and all these different things that you can say to yourself when your blood sugar is pissing you off, if you isolate that event, you're just setting yourself up for stress and frustration. Whereas if you're actually realistic with your approach towards your diabetes management and you're not naive to it, and you say to yourself, okay, look, my blood sugar's gone high or my blood sugar's gone low. It has gone high or low plenty of times in the past. And the reality of it is, it's going to go high or low plenty more times in the future. That's the nature of my condition. It's the reality of type 1 diabetes. So you're not just treating one blood sugar as, oh my God, this is absolutely terrible. You're realizing, look, this is the reality of it. It's not ideal, but I'm going to treat it as best I can and look at why it occurred and what can I do moving forward to avoid it happening as frequently. That's always how you should look at it. Because if you're obliviously reacting emotionally to blood sugar, which I have done in the past, don't get me wrong. But if you do that consistently, it heightens the stress and it heightens the frustration of just living with the condition on a daily basis. There's a nice voice crack for you. I was wondering when would these start kicking back in? But there you go.
Well, we've had the Graham mess up in the email and we've had the own voice crack. If you're a fan of the show, you've got the two main things.
There you go. What else
You've
can you
come to
ask
the
for?
right place.
What else can you ask for?
Katrina, you're absolute legend. Fair play. Thank you so much for contacting the podcast. Thank you for listening and fair play to you. 1 year diagnosed and you're already implementing the right things and improving day to day. So fair play. And we appreciate all emails. If you want to send us any emails, please do theinsulinpodcast@gmail.com. Really quick one before we go. I know we've talked about Maya loads of times, but we got an email from a Stephen Woodward, subject Maya Kearney, and the message, nice and short: this was one of the best interviews I've heard in the last 10 years of thousands of podcasts about women and management of type 1 diabetes. Great guest, great interview. I've added it to the list of my recommended resources about type 1 diabetic management, posts on multiple type 1 diabetic online groups. Stephen, thank you so much for that. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for spreading around. We love hearing people who pass around the podcast because if it has helped you, then you'd know for a fact it will definitely help someone else. So if you can post it if you have a WhatsApp group, if you have Facebook groups, if you have any different types of groups, we would love for you to pass it around so more people can hear it. Or if you don't know anybody else who's diabetic and you're the only one, the best thing you can do is subscribe to the Insulin Podcast and rate us and maybe leave us a review, something like that. Rate or review and subscribe. Subscribe is a big thing because the podcast goes straight to your phone.
Yeah,
But that's
100%.
all my producing duties here to try and get the word
Yeah.
out there.
Thanks, Graham. Thanks, Graham.
No worries,
Thank
no
you,
worries, no
Stephen. We
worries.
appreciate the email. But
Absolutely.
Graham's hitting the nail on the head. If you do benefit from this podcast and you feel, wow, Owen and Graham and all of their guests have actually added a lot of value to my life over the last 4 years, subscribe or share with somebody else, because it really benefits the podcast. And as Graham has said, if it's benefited you, no doubt it can benefit and help somebody else living with type 1 diabetes out there. So as always, we appreciate you listening. Graham, appreciate your time, even though it's been very limited over the last number of weeks.
But I'm back now. Back. My echoey room.
Yeah. As always, look after your blood sugars. Have a good day. Have a good week. We'll chat to you next week. Take care. Love you. Another voice crack. Take it easy.